Hello, folks. This is Edward Marlowe with the For Those Who Inquired podcast. Almost forgot my own intro. It has been a hot minute. I'd say about a couple weeks since I've been in studio with Neil. Now that I've spent some time working at a radio station, it's cool. I've just now realized you record us in mono instead of stereo.
There's no need to be in stereo. The only way that would make sense is if we each were in one channel with one mic.
Okay.
And years ago at WKMS, they used to have a nighttime radio show where they played rock and roll. I don't remember the two dudes on it, you know, midnight, the two. And it was called Lost and Spaced.
Oh, that's a good name.
And
I like that.
One guy would go, welcome to Lost, and the other one in Spaced. And it would come into different channels.
Oh, that's perfect.
So they would be entirely each into one channel. And then the music, when they play music, it was, of course, in stereo, but kind of neat. I never have forgotten that.
That's actually a really neat trick then. Yeah. That was a good voice throw, I guess, is the way that they did that.
Yeah.
Lost and Spaced. And it came out, what did it do? Come into one different speaker?
Yeah. The Lost guy would be in your maybe left speaker, and the Spaced guy would be in the right speaker. And that's the way that would happen.
Absolutely.
Never
brilliant.
Would be mixed together except when music would play.
Man, I like that.
But if one
that.
Of your speakers was out, you couldn't hear what the other guy was saying except in an echo from the other microphone.
Which I'm sure sounded even more lost in space.
What's going on?
What's happening?
I can't hear him except kind of in the background over
there.
That's
brilliant. This is a Sunday morning, actually, and Neil, you're wearing a Quick Stop Groceries t-shirt, which for the uninitiated, for those who inquired, is from the great Kevin Smith movies, Clerks 1 and Clerks 2. He's working on Clerks 3. He has long announced that and has shown several people different tracks of cuts of what he's thinking about and what he's possibly going to do for that, for the dialogue and the setting of that movie. But
I like the movie a lot. However, if you've never heard of it and you're easily offended, don't watch it.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Because you will go, oh my gosh, Neil, you like that?
But Kevin Smith has long done movies like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you think of Mallrats, you think of Dogma and how really inappropriate Dogma can be at times, where they assault different types of religion. But it's parody, you know, and that's what Kevin Smith's going for. But
exactly.
The reason that I was even mentioning your t-shirt is that we're here on a Sunday, and all I can think of is the guy saying, I'm not even supposed to be here. I'm not even supposed to be working today. And that's kind of how we feel right now. But hey, the sports never sleeps.
It doesn't. I've been gone for a week. I was on vacation, and then we had some conflicts where we couldn't. So things sort of piled up on us, but we have a really great list of things to talk about.
Oh, my gosh. We could just talk about the list, and it'd be a 10-minute podcast. Mm-hmm. It's insane. Things that have happened in the last 14 days. I'm trying to think. Neil, you and I last recorded about two weeks ago. And since you've been on vacation, back, and everything in between, I do see you went to go see the St. Louis Cardinals, which apparently they've been on vacation, too.
Yes. So. I saw something I've never seen. They brought in their closer the other night in the eighth inning. I've seen that. That
sure.
happens.
Yeah.
But sometimes
you need
bring
a
in the,
six out close.
Sometimes you bring those guys in out of their element and they don't do as well. Well, I've never seen one do this bad. Alex Reyes comes in, he throws 19 pitches and 17 are balls. He walked in three runs. So they sucked, to be honest about it. But, you know, we had a good time through the station. It was the station appreciation event, so we had free food and everything. So that part was fun. Took my youngest grandson. But other than that, the game was not as good as we had hoped. And there were a lot of Braves fans there. I was kind of shocked at that. And they announced the attendance at 30-something thousand. It looked like there was 22,000 there to me.
I will say this. Bad Baseball Live is still great.
Oh, I still had a good time.
I love baseball games live. And honestly, the dishwasher tolerates live baseball. Because if we, and here's the deal. And she tolerates it because otherwise she could care less. She loves basketball live. She tolerates baseball live because, one, the food's typically good. Typically, if you can find the right, you know, like kiosk or something like that, it's got some unique foods and drink and things like that. But a lot of times, the seats that we've always gotten are comfortable, shaded seats. And so, you know, of course, she loves a good, cute baseball player, what, you know, most women do.
I guess.
And maybe some men. And I don't know. I'm not judging. But, you know, my wife
not that
loves.
There's anything wrong with that.
Sure. Absolutely not. But my, you know, my wife loves a good, cute baseball player. She'll be like, huh. They'll come up on the screen, like, huh, that's cute. But, you know, there's always something now at a baseball game that just keeps things alive. You know, like just, you know, there's music playing or games being played or they're doing an interview or something like that. And so there's always something to keep you engaged in a live baseball game. But there's just always a lot of energy. And I love Busch. And I love everything surrounding Busch. I know you and I have talked a lot about...
Who doesn't love Busch? I mean, I know I do.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's a great stadium.
And Michelob's not bad either.
Yeah, and there's a lot of great restaurants around Busch Stadium.
There are.
And so I like to enjoy just that whole atmosphere. And like I said, yes, it's great to razz some Cardinal fans as a Cincinnati Reds fan. And I'll say it to the day that, you know, this podcast is no more, which it's going to last forever, Neil. But, you know, the Reds are playing well right now. Of course, we are beating up on the Pittsburgh Pirates currently, which is not too terribly difficult to do. But we are 9 games over .500. So... we'll see. Knock on wood. We'll see how that goes. 60-51, and Votto keeps banging. So
I speed watch those games on the it's called the condensed games. I usually watch them the morning after some of those, and I saw the Reds hammering one of my strat pitchers, JT Brubaker. I thought, how bad was he? I think he gave up 6 runs in the first inning. They just absolutely hammered the poor guy, and he's having a decent year,
right?
But he wasn't good that particular day.
Well.
Can the Reds catch the Brewers? I don't know, but they're playing well right now.
Well, the tough part about it, and the last thing I'll mention about the National League Central, the Brew Crew is playing really well. The Cubs had a fire sale. We knew that
they're the Iowa Cubs now.
Yeah, they are the Iowa Cubs now. Nice. That's a really good reference. Unfortunate but true. You knew it was probably coming. They couldn't pay all those guys, so they went and got the return that they thought they could get. I know if I'm a Cubs fan, I'd be really, you know, frustrated with at least two of the trades, but to gut the entire core, I'm sure it was exactly, you know, what you were expecting but didn't want to happen. But I don't, if the Reds don't fix their bullpen, they're still blowing games that they shouldn't be blowing in the 7th, 8th, and 9th. And it's tough to see somebody like Rossiel Iglesias pitching as well as he's doing.
Because he's not blowing games right and left.
No, he's not. I mean, he's got a couple, 2 or 3 blown saves, but I mean, his ERA is sub-4, which is about all the Reds need right now with the offense clicking the way that it is. It's just tough, you know, but that's baseball. That's the way it is, and they weren't going to pay Iglesias, so they went a different route, and they've had now, I believe, it is a franchise record, 10 players have recorded a save for the Cincinnati Reds.
How about that?
And you would think that's good. You'd think that's like...
No, it isn't good.
It's not good. No, it's not good because it's by committee, which means they don't have a trust in an arm.
The Cubs thing, I think, happened... here's my theory on that, is somewhere, I don't know where it happened, but somewhere a Cardinals fan, I think, was on a beach somewhere and laid their head back and pop, little lamp there, and a genie popped out. And one of the wishes was, tear this Cubs team down to bare bones. That's the only explanation. I know there's no logical explanation for it. That had to be it. You said they couldn't pay him, but I think it's the genie thing. I'm going with that.
It's extremely possible. Let's localize a little bit, and I want to stay professional here because it's probably one of the more recent things that's happened. Cameron Payne, former Murray State men's basketball player.
Ka-ching!
Boom! Got paid. Speaking of getting paid, there are a lot of people knocking his contract. I did see... some West Coast reporting, and not that the East Coast would have been any different. I'm just saying it came from the West Coast, being as the Phoenix Suns are out that way. Cameron Payne, 3 years, $19 million to return to the Phoenix Suns, which, by the way, looks like they're going to be running it back, trying to at least, with most of their rotation. Got Chris Paul back, went and got JaVale McGee, recent gold medal winner for Team USA. They certainly got their act together. After a tough preseason and a tough qualifying round, Team USA, courtesy of really Drew Holiday, Devin Booker played fairly well, and then Kevin Durant just did Durant things. But JaVale McGee to the Suns, Cameron Payne in that mix of guys coming back under Monty Williams to try and get back to the finals in what's going to be just a ridiculous Western Conference once again. It's absolutely absurd what the Western Conference looks like right now, and the powers look like to be, oh, man, I mean, you've got another play-in tournament, but and Cam's going to be in the mix of that. That's kind of what I'm getting at. 3 years and $19 million, and again, a year ago, this was a guy playing for his job in the NBA bubble. Neil, just some of your thoughts on that.
Well, and also, he was in China, and they forgot to pick him up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how important he was at the time.
Yeah, like, who's this guy? Oh, he's coming to play for us in China. Oh. But he's already back in the United
States. Instead of curling in a ball and sucking his thumb and woe is me, he dusted himself off, got everything adjusted, and lo and behold, look at what he's made of himself. And I think it's a great story of perseverance and one that shows just because you have the talent, you just can't roll it out there, take some work, some mental adjustment. He's gotten taken care of all that. I think we're all proud of the way he's turned that around and turned it into something that can put a few groceries on the table for the next few years.
Well, and so here's the other thing, too, and this is what I wanted to get at from a contract perspective, and this is just brief discussion. No need to super break it down, but T.J. McConnell for the Indiana Pacers kind of plays the same role as Cam does for the Pacers, and McConnell re-signed for 4 years and $35 million. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little bit heftier of a contract. It's got the extra year, a little bit extra money per year, and probably, you know, maybe as valuable to his team as Cam is to the Phoenix Suns. So I think that's where a lot of, like, the negativity came in the last couple of weeks regarding Cam's contract. It's like, man, why didn't you get a little more money? Couldn't you have fought for some more? I don't know, man. But number one, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, that's Cam's first really good year.
I think that's it.
Number one. Number two, if he's going to return to Phoenix, they didn't have as much money as people think. And if he wanted to stay where he knew he had a fit versus testing free agency, like really like, let's go see what we – ask Dennis Schroeder how testing free agency is going right now. Schroeder turned down 4 years and $80 million – or Schroeder, excuse me. Schroeder turned down 4 years and $80 million, and now the Lakers have gone and rebuilt their roster – and Schroeder's left on the outside wondering what. Now, he's going to get paid by somebody. He's a good basketball player. I'm not trying to compare Schroeder to Cam.
Never heard of him.
Right. Well, sorry.
I'm just telling you.
You're fine. I'm helping those that have. Like, okay. Schroeder's now turned down that. What I'm saying about Cam is that you, when you test free agency, you legitimately test it, especially a guy like him who's put up really one and maybe, say, a half good year.
Mm-hmm.
You go out there, you have to take a chance on whether somebody's going to pay you the money.
That is true.
Here's who was going to pay you. Phoenix. You have value in Phoenix. You take 3 years and $19 million. You say, thank you, sir. May I have another? And that's what will happen, I think, with Cam. If he stays healthy, number one, he's as healthy as he's been since being in the league. He's chiseled now. I mean, he really has been rebuilt physically and mentally by the Phoenix Suns and somewhat by the Texas Legends, the G League team that he played for last year before signing with Phoenix. So you take a look at just the trajectory over the last 24 months and the amount of work that he's put in. To kind of write, you know, his body and his and this ship. Cam's contract ends. He will be 30. There might be another contract out there for him, but if he plays well on this, there definitely will be.
And what does he have to do for them? Just what he's been doing.
Yeah.
Really,
like,
nothing more. If he does something more, great, but doesn't have to.
Yeah, shoot 48% from the field.
Yes.
Done.
They'll take that.
Shoot 44% from three or somewhere right thereabouts. Yeah. Check.
They'll take that.
Shoot 80% or better from the free throw line. Check. He did that last year. Oh, and by the way, don't turn the ball over.
There you go.
Check. Four things. Oh, and play seminal defense. Played respectable defense that at least keeps you in. Oh, check, he's doing that too, mm-hmm. by averaging about, I think, two steals per 36 minutes. So it's like, okay, if you do these four to five things and just check like three to five of them off in big games, oh, okay, well, you can be a part of our rotation now. That's exactly what he did in this postseason and really in the regular season. He played 60 great games for Phoenix this year. Out of 72, he sat a little while for a couple of little nicks and injuries, blowouts, things like that, where he wasn't needed, and got it done. And like I said, I think a lot of people around here and in Phoenix will remember his first two games against the Clippers. I mean, to score 40 points with 18 assists and just one turnover, and they go 2-0 while Chris Paul's sitting. I think a lot of people picked the Clippers to win that series, mm-hmm. because Chris Paul sat with COVID for those first 2 weeks, and they were ready to go.
Yeah, that's big.
So as we stay on the Murray State men's basketball line here, there are things that have just been happening for the program. Still haven't announced a schedule yet. I know that there's some details that still have to be ironed out there. I don't know if, I mean, we're naturally closer to it being announced just as we get closer
to
the season.
Usually September anyway, late August. So.
Yeah, Yeah, we've still got some time.
But you have to look at hardly no one's released theirs either.
Right.
So it's not like, oh, there are 150 schools have. Where's yours?
It's it's like 20, no 30. Yeah,
hardly no one.
Yeah, it's like 10% of teams have released. But the one big thing that's happened in the last 2 weeks is that they've announced Ronrico White has been moved up the staff, and an assistant to the coach has been hired. And it is a very familiar name in Hall of Famer and West Memphis, Arkansas native Marcus Brown to the men's basketball staff. And I cannot stress enough how excited not only locals are, but this staff is to add Marcus Brown into the locker room. Neil, you obviously had a chance to obviously cover Marcus Brown. What are your thoughts, one, about Ronrico's promotion, and two, Marcus Brown being added to the staff?
Well, first with Marcus, I did cover every one of his games as a player. So he does have that legacy he can bring to him about what it means to be a racer. He's done it. His jersey's hanging up there. He's in the Hall of Fame. But also he can give them the lay of the land. He was drafted. He played briefly in the NBA. Had a tremendous, one of the greatest EuroLeague careers of anyone is in terms of an American player.
It's unparalleled.
And he was absolutely fantastic. But he has a lot of experience from a basketball standpoint, from a life standpoint, from so many different areas. Where did he come from? The Memphis, West Memphis, Arkansas area. So he's from a hotbed of basketball. The knowledge that he can bring, the experience that he can bring, I think it's a knockout move. And then with Ronrico, everyone will always point, well, he's never been an assistant coach before. Everyone who's ever been an assistant had to get that first crack at it, and look at some of the great head coaches. That's where you get your start.
That's exactly.
He's paid his dues. They like how he handled things. He deserved a promotion.
Right.
He got a promotion. So I think it's a fantastic deal for Ronrico White. He's paid his dues, and now it's his turn. Can he recruit? Well, I don't know. Let's see.
Let's find out.
Send him out there. But everyone had to get that. Remember, Shane Nichols had to get his first job. Someone had to go, is this really a good hire? Should we really hire Shane? Can he recruit? Yes, he can. Tim Kaine, same thing. James Kaine, same thing. Sure he can recruit? Not sure if he can do it. You have to give him a chance.
Let's try.
I think he can do it.
He's earned the opportunity. And here's the deal, too.
Has.
First of all, Murray State men's basketball has long predicated itself on the success of promoting from within. Very rarely does Murray State men's basketball, regardless of athletic director or men's basketball situation, have they just gone and been like, we're wiping the table clean. You know, there have been a couple wipes just as staffs change and, oh, I got the big job. And
yeah, that's a different deal.
That happens. But has there ever been historically, yes, there have been a couple of times where they're like, yeah, we got to wipe the slate clean. But generally speaking, more often than not, the promotion from within for Murray State men's basketball has been successful, especially recently. Within the last 15 years, promotion from within has done nothing but serve as a benefactor for Murray State men's basketball. So I think that's an absolute thing. Going back to Marcus Brown, one of the things that I've talked about with a couple of people that I find extremely interesting is the pipeline. You already have a strong Memphis pipeline anyway, of former players, coaches, assistant coaches, things like that, that come from that area. Marcus Brown, if I'm not mistaken, I believe is a Hall of Famer for the state of Arkansas.
Could be.
Believe that's right. He is in the Arkansas State Sports Hall of Fame. I double checked that. I believe Drew Hill of the Daily Memphian wrote about that a couple of years ago, and he's been down there coaching high school programs. And slight dovetail here as I digress. I do want to say I want to commend, as a media member, I would have loved to have known, oh man, Marcus Brown's coming. That was quiet.
Yeah. They did a good job with
Marcus was allowed to notify his team, his staff, his high school, his confidants, his family, hey, this is happening. And, I mean, there might have been five people that knew this was about to happen. And then when it was announced, I had a flood of text messages saying, holy crap, did anybody know this was coming? This is great news. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I did not know this. Neither did some of the people that I know. Yeah. And that's great. Sometimes information like that, I mean, yeah, you'd love to know, like, oh, man, who's getting traded or who are we signing or what's the calendar look like? What's the schedule look like? Those are neat little nuggets to get early. I'm not going to deny that. But to see Marcus Brown hired and it be such a remarkable announcement for this program, there's a lot of excitement wrapped around it.
Well, another example, Kenny Roth, who does the games with me, he was part of the staff that brought Marcus here.
Right.
I mean, he was, Marcus played under Kenny, and Scott Edgar had a tremendous career, and he didn't know about it. And he's good buddies. Marcus has stayed at his house before.
Right.
Things of that sort. And he's like, Marcus, how can we get in? And Marcus is like, hey, that wasn't my thing to announce. You know?
Right.
So he did a good job.
And I want to give a quick nod to that, too. Kenny had an anecdote that he tweeted out. It was jaw-related, but it was Marcus-related, about how Kenny had remembered one time on the sideline, jaw looking up to the rafters and being like, how did Marcus do it? How did Marcus Brown do what he's done? You know, he knew Marcus's history, at least a little bit of it, knew how good of a basketball player he was and how he'd been successful in the Memphis area, and, you know, and obviously had gone on to play great basketball. And how did he get his number in the rafters? And now Jaws is up there too. So, I mean, like I said, that's more of a modern look of what Kenny has seen. But he's seen both players.
Yeah.
And just thought that was a cool anecdote because now Marcus is on staff. Now, does Marcus equal three more wins? I'm not going to compute those types of things. I think just from a locker room standpoint, Marcus was the way they wanted to go by adding to the staff. And this is no disrespect. I mean, absolutely no disrespect to Shane. Shane Nichols is absolutely going to be missed. I know that was a tough transition for the men's basketball team, but this is absolutely an exciting hire. Wish Shane nothing but the best, and Marcus is going to be interesting. So that's just my thoughts.
I just don't know what the job of assistant to the head coach is. I watch The Office, as, you know, the assistant to the regional manager, so I'm not really sure what the defined roles are. And from what I understand, Marcus wasn't 100% sure either, but he knew it would be highly basketball-related, and I'm sure he knows by now that he's been here a few days.
Maybe Marcus just gets to call the timeouts. Maybe that's
who
what
knows?
It is. As the assistant to the coach,
idea.
He gets to call the timeouts. That's all he has to do.
Could be.
No, it'll be a little bit more intricate than that. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that develops. Stick one more little nugget here for Murray State men's basketball before we move forward. They have added, as we talked a little bit about the schedule, they have added the Naples invitation. I think a lot of people were kind of scrambling, hoping that the Racers would pick up this, you know, this tournament exemption. And, they added a tournament exemption.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a little further south than the two times they played in the tournament, further north in the Fort Myers area. A little different venue, but it's a great tournament at the mid-major level with a lot of very strong teams. This will be a difficult tournament to win, but if you win it, I think there will be a lot of prestige to it.
I'm bringing up the schedule. I do know for a fact that they open up with East Tennessee State.
Right.
And from that point forward, there's the possibility that if they win, they end up going to play. If Missouri State wins, Missouri State's in the field. I know James Madison's in the field. I'm bringing it up as we speak. It is an absolutely delicious, in my opinion. Yeah, absolutely. Here it is. It's a delicious mid-major showcase because you've got George Washington, James Madison, Wright State, East Tennessee State, Murray State, of course, Missouri State, and then Long Beach State. It's pretty solid, mm-hmm. pretty solid mid-major showcase, and it's in Naples. So I know that that's going to be an enjoyable time for both you,
yeah.
and the staff, old Dave Winder and the guys. That'll be a lot of fun, great experience.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday games, and then travel day on Thanksgiving, so that'll be a little weird, but we've done that before. Looking forward to it. It's always good. That's when it's fun to be in Florida, Ed, when it's 80 there and it's 32 back here.
Yeah. Well,
that's when it's fun.
We'll be listening to the radio just huddled for warmth. you know, I'll probably be outside. I doubt I'll get to go. Obviously, I'll have to be at work at WKDZ, but that's all right. It means I can listen to the games on the way home, and really looking forward to doing a little bit of reporting on it. It should be a great tournament regardless of what happens. I mean, you hope, you know, that's 3 or 4 months away. A lot can happen, mm-hmm. but you know, you and I have talked a little bit about what the non-conference schedule looks like. We do know Auburn, Middle Tennessee State has announced its date with the Racers. I believe they play here this year, I think. You've got, I would have to think SIU is somewhere on there, maybe.
Illinois State, too.
Illinois State's
on
there.
I don't know if you mentioned them, but that's a return game.
That's a return game. Did we already mention Auburn? Auburn. Well, we've talked about Auburn prior, but it's near Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
So you're starting to get the pieces filled in. Maybe you're looking for one or two other games. Curious what that home opener is. I mean, you never know what that's going to be.
There'll be the Hall of Fame weekend game. It'll be on a Saturday. I don't know who that's going to be either.
I don't either. Yeah. Last year it was supposed to be Chattanooga. This year, I'm sure that's all still being worked out. So there's still some details that need to be ironed out. The conference schedule is what it is. I mean, that'll be out soon as well. But, I mean, you look at your rotators and you know where that's going to be. So it'll be really interesting to see how they finish out the rest of the non-conference schedule. Really looking forward to the women's basketball schedule, too, when it's released. I've heard that it might be pretty decent, pretty rigorous. But you look at how good this team has been built, and you look at how young they are, and some of the ladies that have decided to use their free year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll come to light fairly soon. And when you realize just who's coming back and how much longer they're going to be here, that's good news for Rochelle Turner and her staff, who of course added Wyatt Faust in the offseason, which you and I have talked a lot about. So, you know, going to be a really cool basketball season for both of those programs. Going to see really, it's going to be really interesting to see how they play through it. Moving on, a little bit of basketball news, but really something that was announced in the last couple of weeks also is the Murray State Hall of Fame class, the next one. It feels back-to-back because it technically is. You had to have the celebration for 2020 this past summer at Roy Stewart Stadium, so they were finally able to recognize that class, but it was time to recognize and announce the next class. I think Dave Winder and his staff did a really good job with every 3 days they revealed a new one or something like that,
it
out.
Well, you get your own day.
Yeah.
That's what I like. And you deserve your own day.
Yeah.
Instead of here they all are.
Here's a dump.
And if you're on radio, or you're not going to get much ink.
Not at all. And so each of these – I don't want to go and break down. Each of these players, number one, probably deserves their own podcast, just to be completely fair. Scotty Ingram. Volleyball. Well,
they will have. Dave does that with them, so at some point they'll all have their own on Dave's thing.
Yeah, I'll absolutely recommend. Yeah. Absolutely recommend Running with the Racers podcast.
Yeah.
His vocabulary is almost as good as both yours and I's. He has a lovely smorgasbord.
He does.
Of reporting that comes out of the Running with the Racers podcast, but he Scotty Ingram, volleyball, is in this class. Delaney Housen, women's golf. Devester Anderson needs little introduction as the former Murray State men's basketball coach. Shane Andrus, probably one of the most famous calls in Murray State athletics outside of extending the stay to San Jose, is Shane Andrus. And what he and Panunzio said on the field was not safe for radio, but that's okay because it was a huge win over Tony Romo and the Eastern Illinois Panthers. What was it, 52-yarder?
52 yards.
52-yard field goal to win the OVC championship that year.
Shane never saw it either.
Yeah, just turned around.
Turned his back and like, that's in.
That's effing in, is what I've heard was said. Is that's effing good. And really, you go look at the video, it had room to spare.
Well, we had the sound and the raw sound. You can hear his foot hit the ball. That's how hard. I mean, pop, you can hear the thud. And then there it goes. Like, my gosh.
And
it could have been a 57 to 60 yards, easy.
And those goalposts, they did go to Wilson, or not Wilson. They went to...
They ended up at Winslow Cafeteria.
Winslow Cafeteria, yes. Yeah. They marched them through.
Yeah.
And having gone to Murray State, I know where they had to march that through. That's a hell of a hill to climb.
I've been told the story. I wasn't down on the field, so I don't know. They had security down there, and they were guarding the goalposts just in case something like that happened.
That didn't go well.
And they started surrounding, and I guess through radio, they talked to the president, and it was like, let them have one. Guard the other. Let's give them one. So they backed off, and now there you go.
Just don't take the second one.
You can
please.
Have that one. Well, it's a little money to. And unlike when Tennessee State came in
cheap.
To tear them both down the year they won it, they had to pay to replace them. When it's your own folks, you're going to have to pay to replace. So it's like, just go ahead and let them break one, and we'll figure out how to get the money.
Track star, I believe Martin Brewer.
Yeah, he was my suite mate when I went to college. Here's all I remember about Martin Brewer. He was busy, making a success out of his life, and I was busy not. So that was the reason
I
didn't see him too much. But he was not sweet mate. He lived across the hall, whatever you call it, just across the hall.
A hall mate, but I mean, those are almost sweet mates too. You end up sharing the bathroom there most of the time.
So it was in Richmond, is where I stayed, and so he was there, and the thing I remember, the English accent, I'd never really heard anyone in person talk with an English accent. And then he talked about Lindy's 19-cent hamburgers, and he goes, how are the Wimpies down there? I was like, what?
Burgers, Wimpies.
I don't know what that is. So, the Wimpies. So,
I love it.
Oh.
But see, that's why Wimpy is who he is in Popeye.
I didn't know that.
Because he's wimpy, because he likes hamburgers.
I didn't know that.
I know, but I get it.
That's what he was calling it. That's all I remember about Martin Brewer. He's fast to track. I don't know, but he said Wimpies for hamburgers.
I love it. Now I need to start a burger chain and call it Wimpies. I love it. Man, that's great. That's awesome. See, the things you learn at college, it's not always just about the education, but it's also the debauchery and the fact that you got to hear an English accent for the first time.
Yeah.
That's why I would recommend college, because you just never know what culture you're going to run into.
There's lots that we could talk about in college, and most of that, let's wait till I'm retired, and I'll tell you some stories.
Yeah, not safe for podcasting. You and I have always said, Neil, you can have a podcast about anything one time.
One time.
One time.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's that you're out of business. Eric Krigler, want to finish up the rest of this Hall of Fame class. Eric Krigler, who is now in the Murray State Board of Regents. I absolutely believe he was drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals. Huge piece of that offensive line for Frank Beamer and the guys during, I believe, 1990, 91.
Turned out. No, that would have been before then.
Okay.
1991 was Mahoney.
Okay.
So I've been 80.
I was five then. I'm
88,
sorry.
86. You're 11.
Two middle fingers.
You're 11. I didn't do that. But nevertheless, they were so successful. Great offense. Defense was fantastic. But Eric helped anchor the line that brought all that success, and had teammates as well. But he was an academic All-American, very smart guy, as you can tell, had success in business as well.
Vincent Rainey, the last on that list. Of course, if we refer to men's basketball and some of the greatness, Vincent Rainey, of course, needs a little introduction as well.
Yeah, the ultimate warrior. You hear that in the wrestling. There's actually a guy who wrestled by that.
Yep.
But that was Vince on the floor. I mean, he was not intimidated by anybody. He seemed to have that ability to raise his game to another level if the occasion called for it. If there were big games, Vince put up big stats. For a small size, 6'5"-ish, he gave you that 6'8" kind of performance. He was just fantastic. Teaming him with Marcus Brown, it was pretty much a dream team.
And I'm trying to – did they – this is where it kind of overlaps in my mind a little bit. Did they play all 4 years together?
I don't think so. I think there was one. I think Marcus was. I think it was a year. I think Vince was a year behind.
Okay, because I knew Marcus. Marcus played for three OVC championships.
Yeah, because Marcus was one, and it may have been more than a year behind. But here's what I remember about Marcus. He was on the bench at SEMO when the Racers were down by 18 with 4:31 to go.
Yeah.
He fouled out. They had to bring Vincent, the freshman, in.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my gosh. And he made a bonehead pass, Vince did, and they were being pressed. But just how things work out, the SEMO guy couldn't catch it. We ended up getting a bucket out of it. So it should have been an interception, but it wasn't. It was like tip, deflected, and it's part of the comeback. But Vince was part of one of the greatest comebacks in Murray State history, and also part of the one of the successful periods of basketball.
So – that's a lot of Murray State, and we still have a little bit more Murray State news coming up because we got a couple. We got a women's basketball offer out on the table that just happened in the last 48 hours. But want to dovetail a little bit into some high school sports here in the first region. We do have high school golf that has taken off in the last couple of weeks. Hard to really talk about that. There have been so many tournaments already, as schools have tried to jam in as much daytime activity as they can before school starts.
Sure.
Here, several schools have already started, but some start next week. But a lot of football scrimmages out there. We could break those down, but really two of the bigger things right now. Number one, Skylar Waller's transfer from Callaway County girls basketball to Marshall County High School. I think deserves a little bit of discussion. I know that that's a family decision that the Wallers had to make. Felt like they needed to make, and the thing about it is Skylar can transfer really wherever she wants because it's her 8th grade to 9th grade year. So that's ungoverned by the Kentucky High School Athletic Association. You can transfer, change schools, and you're not going to pay up. There's no penalty. There's no sit out a year. No, mm-hmm. It's middle school to high school. It's sometimes people just even forget they even went to middle school. Like, I feel like middle school is just those years are just like whatever. They're just there. we'll move on. But Skylar, we mentioned this. I don't know how much she changes the Marshall County girls basketball team immediately, because they already have a lot of great pieces.
She doesn't hurt them.
No, she doesn't. She absolutely doesn't hurt them. 5'7", made the all-purchase team last year for the Paducah Sun, averaged 18 points and 8 rebounds, shot about 44% from the field, 43-44, made the most free throws in the region. Just so physical, has no problem getting in the paint, plays a lot like her mom did, you know, mm-hmm. Valerie, who has also resigned as Callaway County girls basketball coach. So it's kind of an interesting time for Marshall County girls basketball because they already had great pieces. You had Neely Northcott, you had Mia Teague that were going to get big minutes this year, I would think, just kind of from a mental expectation. Uh-huh. You have, obviously, Jada Driver and Hallie Lange, who are both really good. You know, does Skylar come in and immediately help? I'm sure that, like I said, she doesn't hurt. Going to make them kind of interesting this mm-hmm. year. Aaron Beth and point guards typically go hand-in-hand together. And Skylar's does a lot of really special things. And this is a Callaway team that won 19 games last year when people thought, you know, maybe they'd be a little down.
Yeah.
But her and Ellie Carson together were terrific in the backcourt. And then a lot of pieces wrapped around that did really well. Addie Schumacher, I believe Sailor Lowe played really well. Mm-hmm. Madison Futrell. So it's just one of those things, like, you know, now with Skylar elsewhere, I'm not sure what to expect. But it's definitely something that caused a lot of discussion in the last 48 hours and will continue to cause discussion in the winter.
Yeah, Region 1, but especially District 4, because it's within the district.
Yep.
It'll be... big impact for sure.
Well, and I think a lot of people thought she was going to be a Laker for life because her mom was a Laker for life.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, families need to make decisions that are best for themselves, in my opinion. So if this wasn't a good fit for them, then so be it. You're allowed to make that decision. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how transfers work. It's all about what's best for you and your family and what's best for your future. So that's about all I have to say about it, other than the fact that it absolutely changes basketball, in my opinion, because that now gives Marshall County three of the top 10 first region players, including Lange and Driver, in my opinion. And then McCracken, you know, having made a regional championship last year, has, oh my gosh, they have a great starting five and some bench pieces that are absolutely terrific. And I mean, it's very possible that ends up being the championship again. I don't want to take Graves out.
Right.
Lyndon Dunning and his staff have a great, great program, and they've got a lot of great players. But, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to go up against McCracken and Marshall to kind of get into that top two spot. And then everybody else, really, I think, is playing for fourth at this point.
Yeah, it will impact. And the thing is, Callaway, they've gone through the summer anticipating the team they would have. I'm sure built their plans for this year around it, and now – boom, new coach and new rotation. And I realized that was going to change anyway because of the injury. Is that right? She's
so
dealing with?
Yeah, she is dealing with a shoulder injury. I'm probably not at liberty to talk too much about it. But it's something that she experienced in AAU basketball.
Right, right.
She had already not suited up for several golf matches. Scott Brown of Your Sports Edge,
sure.
So my coworker, had already reported for Your Sports Edge that, you know, that Skylar was kind of on the mend right now. However long that takes, I think we'll be up to the Waller family and what
but
they decide to do.
Shoulder versus knee or ankle or anything like that, that's a different injury for a basketball player, even though it could be impactful.
Oh, absolutely.
Might not as impactful. You blow a knee out, you're not playing.
Yeah, you're not playing this year. Yeah, no, not at all.
This is a little different.
And actually, I'm really glad. I hate to use this as a segue, but let's use knee and McCracken as a good segue for what else happened in the last 48 hours. Destiny Thomas, McCracken County, star guard, forward, hybrid, really can do a little bit of everything, a 6'0", 6'1", type player. Rod Thomas's daughter, formerly of Paducah Tillman, got to play 1 year at McCracken, you know, then last year was probably going to be the region player favorite, I would think, as player of the year, tore ACL in the offseason. She's worked really, really hard to get back. Lot of expectations for her coming into this season. I mean, this is a young lady that is a 7th and 8th grader, was averaging 15, 16 points a game.
Yeah.
Significantly talented player. Can score at all three levels, rebounds well, passes well. Probably could play point guard if you asked her to. What I'm getting to is she's back. She's healthy. And I think after in the last 48 hours, after a discussion with Rochelle Turner and her staff, Destiny has picked up a women's basketball offer with Murray State. And so I don't know what that means for the future. I just know that means that Murray State was looking at her progress.
Mm-hmm.
She had had a D1 offer or two prior to her injury. So now for the you figured this was coming. I mean, but I don't necessarily think this is like just Rochelle saying, hey, this is a we'll just offer you because it's, you know, like it's a thing. Like, it's not just let's just offer a local player. It's Destiny Thomas is good enough to come play D1 basketball.
Yeah, I think so.
Will she wind up being a racer? I don't know. I think it'd be really interesting. You know, her parents were racers. Her brother is a racer, playing for men's basketball as a walk-on and really highly touted, you know, scout player for those guys.
Yeah.
Has come in and scored several times in key blowout games. So I don't know, you know, if Destiny chooses Murray State, there's a lot of time left in her development and a lot of time for her recruitment to really spike up. But I say these things like Murray State wouldn't be good enough for her to play, and I think she would be well received here and could definitely help them a couple years from now. So that happened also with Skylar Waller. And in Destiny, I have her Cat's Paws will be out in about, I'd say, 6 weeks for basketball, which I know is early, but preseason I have Hallie Lange number one just because, you know, Hallie came – you know, she did so well at the state tournament last year, but she played so well in the regular season.
Yeah.
Hallie comes in with, like, the proven experience of the past year, but I've got Destiny at two, and Destiny could very well win Region 1 Player of the Year, in my opinion, if things go well for McCracken and for her development this past, you know, this next season. So, couple quick tangents, because, my gosh, there are so many things going on right now as we ramp into both college and high school sports. The facilities master plan has been revealed, kind of a wish list for Murray State athletics. Really excited that. I suggest going and reading everything at goracers.com, but just a very quick list. It's everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's I don't know how else to say it. It is literally Kevin Soule and his staff's wish list for every single facility that is athletic related on campus, and it's pretty impressive. I told somebody the other day, if you hit 250 on it, like if you get one out of four, you know, and multiply, if you can hit 250 and get a fourth of these projects done in a 5 to 10 year span, you would absolutely elevate Murray State to that next level. Does that mean another conference? I don't know. I mean, the OVC is interesting, as we'll mention here in a minute anyway. But the facilities master plan, Neil, what were just your quick takeaways on what you saw on that wish list?
Well, there's a lot that need to be done, that needs to be done on the higher profile sports. But it looks like video boards for basically everybody. I think they want to do that and some things. But I think the impactful in terms of the numbers of people who will enjoy, you get the lower bowl seating there. I think that's huge at the CFSB Center. Also, artificial turf for baseball. That's something that was a little different there.
That'd be interesting.
That would be interesting. But, you know, a lot of things that I think they really do need. And then some things that I think would really enhance the athletic experience for the student athletes.
They've already started the work for, you and I have briefly discussed in a previous podcast, you know, some of this facility's master plan was revealed by Kevin Soule as he's done his Rotary tour throughout the summer. So I was able, you and I have talked a little bit about some of the immediate projects that are being attacked, you know, the men's and women's golf improvements, how they're going to get, you know, some Roy Stewart Stadium upgrades. I know that bathrooms in the dugouts for softball and baseball is high on Kevin's list. I mean, he seemed to be adamant about that at the Cater's Rotary Club a couple of months ago. You know, this lower seating at the CFSB Center, I think, is extremely interesting. It turns it into a more basketball facility. You know, I do know that it's been a regional special events center in the past. So, you know, when you have permanent lower bowl seating, much like Rupp Arena does, you improve the basketball experience, but then what do you do about concerts? I know that that's a discussion going on.
I think you have concerts. I think it's boat shows and things like that that's
right.
Going to limit.
Yeah, you'd have to you'd still have basketball courts up top, so I know that that's probably an interesting discussion that will continue. A facilities master plan is simply this. Here's what we'd love to see. If we had $1 million gajillion, it's a technical term, obviously, but if you had just unlimited money, here's where we're going to work, and these are the projects that we are very adamant about. This is the top of our list for each of these programs. In the top of my mind, if I had to pick three things right now that I would immediately target, I would continue improvements on Cutchin, because your volleyball program is superb, and you want Cutchin to be, if it's going to be the second largest facility for women's, you know, for volleyball, women's indoor volleyball in the country, then brand it as such. And I think that's what they want to do. Instead of moving it elsewhere on campus, I think that that's becoming more of a reality. Let's turn Cutchin Fieldhouse into this home for Racer volleyball, because it will completely change their program. You know, Nebraska has the largest, I believe. So then that's probably clear at the top of my list. I know it's not a main artery sport, but if you're going to buy into that and keep building that, I think that makes sense. Number two, lights on Cutchin Field and better seating. Because if your soccer program is going to continue to stay near the top of the OVC, which it has since Groves and Lodge have been here, and even, you know, Beth had two or three really good years, I would say embrace that. It's a beautiful open field next to the Curris Center. Let's have Cutchin Field be what it's going to be. You know, let's improve that. Because if you put lights on that field, then all of a sudden you can start hosting those NCAA tournament games that you hope to have as a Racer program. And then number three, and again, I'm just spitballing here, because, you know, that athletic facility that they want for the middle, you know, that would improve Roy Stewart Stadium and the CFSB Center and the two baseball fields, they want that to be that encompassing. I think that would really, that's got to be at the top of your list too, from a monetary standpoint, because that would lift all of those programs and that campus area right there. But that, just my opinion, and I'd love to hear, you know, what you think.
Surprise! I haven't actually read all of it, Ed. Being on vacation, didn't go through all of it. Was there a
plan
for new football facility overall?
So the goal is, in from what I've read and from what I keep hearing, I you can't tear down Roy Stewart Stadium, I don't think, just because there's a...
But can you fix it?
That's a good question.
I don't know if you can fix, and by, I don't mean the part everybody sees.
Right.
Because that looks good.
Yeah, the bowel.
You come out there and go, man, that looks awesome.
The underneath.
Let's go underneath when it's coming some thunderstorms and tell me how you like it.
It's a great question.
It's awful.
It is. It's not ideal. And the tough part about it is... it might be the one facility that if you tear it down and rebuild it, it costs more than to just repair it.
And here's the deal. Because it's concrete, if you, let's tear it down, it might cost you $1 million to get the concrete hauled off.
Right.
You just can't burn it. Let's go set a fire.
Yeah, no, you got
to
move it.
It's got to be moved, and to destroy that and move it away, I mean, it's money that they don't have, and I don't really know the solution. The solution would be come up with a way to fix it, but I'm not smart enough. I'm not an engineer. I don't know if you can fix those things or not. I really don't.
I can tell you that the fact that it was built on a city dump is not ideal, but those decisions have already been made, obviously.
Right, but you can't undo that.
Cannot undo that. It's hard to delete something that's already been built as a pre-structure, but I will say Kevin Saul, Murray State AD, has made it abundantly clear, and I've heard this from more than one source, that Roy Stewart Stadium is an artery and a heart to the university,
yes,
to the campus. Not only is it a landmark when you first come into town,
yeah, I agree,
but it houses more than you think that it does.
Oh, I know it does.
And yeah. I hate to use this term, but I'm going to. It's just the best way to describe it, in my opinion. It's like a clown car. You look at it and you think, oh, the football team's there, and then you notice 50,000 individuals come out of it all at the same time,
yeah,
for like rifle, golf, baseball works, football workouts.
Weaver Center down there.
The Weaver Center's down there. It's absolutely essential student athlete experience in the Weaver Center. Rest in peace, the Weaver family. And so it's just one of those situations where, like, holy moly, you don't realize what's all down there until you just take a tour. Take one tour, and you're like, there, it's snakes and does, and there's like, there's probably a subway station somewhere down there that we don't even know about that's got a train running athletes into it. There isn't, but there could be. There's so much going on at Roy Stewart Stadium that it is such a unique multi-purpose facility that you can't just say, ah, hell, we're just going to delete it. Like,
yeah,
you just can't do that. So they have to find a way to either repair it and accentuate its use, or find a new purpose for it, because it's probably staying.
Yeah.
So.
And that's it. The good news is, from the outside, is from the road.
Yep.
It looks great.
It does.
people driving by, you don't need to do anything to that. It looks fantastic. It's the underneath part, the leaks and things like that. And again, I'm not smart enough to know if that can be fixed. If it can, then awesome. That would be fantastic.
I tell you what I think I am smart enough to say, what? But only barely, is I would love to see an endorsement for the stadium. Let somebody come in. Now, granny, you don't want somebody to say, I want, it's going to be Pink Roses Stadium. Mm-hmm. But rename the field Roy Stewart Field and give the stadium, kind of like what Austin Peay did, give the stadium naming rights. Let's
get some, an idea.
Let's get some money in perpetuity here. Let's lock in, 5-10 year, 2 year. Let's start with 2 year and get somebody to come in and say Chevy Stadium or...
Oh, after my dog.
Yeah, there you go. After your dog, yeah. It'd be Neil Bradley Stadium.
No, you don't
for
want that.
For the low cost of $100,000 a year, you too, Neil. Everything has a price, even our souls. Mm-hmm. So, real quick, I do want to dovetail into these two things. Sticking onto football, the 50-yard line dinner does happen relatively soon. I think they are taking...
26th?
Yeah, July 26th.
August 26th, I hope.
Oh, is it? Yeah, it's not July. Yeah.
Don't go back in time.
My brain is already... Yeah, we are. My brain is back in time. Yes, August 26th. I'm sorry. You're right. August 26th, as we lead into school and the football season, the 50-yard line dinner, I do believe they're taking donations and tickets. And you want a seat, call in and get it. Go to GoRacers.com for that. And then Marcus Floyd, named to several preseason watch lists. Check that out as well. Marcus had a terrific season last year at defensive back for Murray State. And, again, he's just one of these preseason all-OVC pieces that the Racers are relying on for this season to see if they can, win that coveted OVC championship.
Team's back on campus. They've started practice, and I'm sure most of our shows have a ton of football information going forward. The polls will come out. I just voted in the FCS poll from whatever the heck it is now. I can't keep
it's FCS. It's FCS Stats, isn't it?
The Stats Poll. That's stats right. Poll, so yeah. I just voted in that. I think that come out this week.
What'd you put the Racers at?
This coming week. I think I had them 17th, I think.
FCS football is going to be terrific this year.
You have to realize, you feel, well, last year they were ranked higher. Well, there were a lot of conferences not playing. So when you factor everybody playing in, there's several conferences that are going to put some teams in there.
Yeah, they're
so
back.
It's not that they're worse. They're not. I think they're going to be better.
The field is just going to be good.
It's just a bigger field. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So I still have them. They have Austin Peay right below them.
Yeah.
So I think the Racers would be, especially since the game's here, that's how I picked them, 1 and 2. So I have those two. And it's,
look at how close that game was last year at Austin Peay.
Yeah. But it'll be a fantastic race. And
did you put SEMO in the top 25?
I did not.
They're right there, though.
They're there, but
they're
I'd
say 27, 28. I mean, that's arguable, but I mean, top 30. There are three top 30 teams in the OVC this year.
But I'll keep my eye on them. I'm not against voting for them. If they do well enough, they'll definitely be in the poll or on my ballot.
Another fairly local team that's going to be really good this year, and I know that they lost a couple of graduates, but SIU.
I had them 6th or 7th.
They're going to be
great.
They're
really good.
They're really, really good, and they're in a tough – they're in the best FCS conference in the country. Let's say one of the best, but I'd say
– top to bottom, I think you're right.
Missouri Valley is fabulous when it comes to FCS football. Very last thing I want to mention, Neil, and I appreciate the time as we have absolutely hammered so many different things, and we could have hammered even more. The OVC lawsuit – occurred, yes. Or was at least announced. I'm sure it occurred prior to this, but it has been announced. The league wasted little time announcing its lawsuit for exit fees to Jacksonville State and EKU. Really good point that was brought up to me, and I really kind of want to get your thoughts on this as well. I think, do you use the exit fees for JSU and EKU to buy in other teams?
I would think that would be part of it, perhaps.
Announce the lawsuit, put the pressure on JSU to EKU to pay up like you're supposed to, and hey, we're going to flip that money for maybe what conferences we're going to invite or what teams.
Teams, yeah. I think that's a possibility if they could use that money for that. Heck, I never know. A lot of times you think of that, and I'm like, oh, we can't use it for that because I'm like, okay, I didn't know that. So I haven't spoken with anyone with any knowledge of it, but if they can, I wouldn't know why that wouldn't be a good investment.
Beth DeBush, commissioner for the OVC, had an interesting 2 or 3 minute nugget with Jeff Bidwell, WPSD Local Sports, Local 6 Sports, hoping to have Jeff on the podcast relatively soon. We'll talk about that later. But I think she had something really interesting to say about the importance of football to the OVC. And I thought, you know, if you're reading between the lines there, maybe they're talking to teams that have good football programs. I mean, that's a very vanilla blanket statement to say, but, I mean, you know you value basketball, you know you value all of your student-athletes, but if you're really, you take a look at what's happened with Oklahoma and Texas, and that's at a big, big, big level. If you take it at a micro-economic level here at the OVC, you value football, and you value your relationship with ESPN, you value your relationship with ESPN Plus, and you value your contracts and on where that revenue is coming from. And the continued success. I mean, men's basketball is becoming more of a multi-bid, hopefully. You'd like to see that trend better in the future. But football continues to be a multi-bid to the FCS playoffs, at least in recent memory. So how do you play that? Well, Beth is, you know, probably among several constituents on this decision-making committee on where your invitations go. If you're sending out invitations. And again, this is a very mysterious process right now because much like the Marcus Brown release, we have received no indication as to what direction. We keep hearing little snippets here and there. No indication where the OVC is headed as far as possibly replacing JSU and EKU. And you'd love to think it's two teams, one team, four teams, some team. But no one really knows like what the next step is for the OVC in that regard.
I want it to be two schools that play football, though. If it's only going to be two, I would like for it to be two that play football that replace the two you lost.
And I think Beth kind of was iterating that to Jeff. Like, hey, we care about football. Mm-hmm. Bear with us. So I don't know what that means. Really looking forward to seeing what sort of information comes out. I would think, you think about the way JSU and EKU exited, I would think any sort of announcement from the OVC, and this is just ballpark conjecture, I have no clue, but you'd have to think that they announce maybe in the fall?
I would think that's
question
a good
mark?
Yeah, I think that's a good conjecture there. And their exit fees, by the way, $1 million each is what they're supposed to pay up.
Correct.
Give you an idea of the difference, Oklahoma, Texas, theirs floats based on a formula somewhere in the neighborhood of $80 million. So if you want to know the difference in athletic programs, you'd probably have to just sell the school if it was $80 million here. It's like, well, here, we just give you the deed to Jacksonville State. There you go. You now own it.
Have a great day.
Because, I mean, $80 million.
Yeah.
But it's a difference in the level of programs. Just wanted to throw that out there. If you think, well, we're still at Division One. Yeah, we are. But it's a little different in terms of money.
It's like single-A ball and And major leagues.
Yeah, in terms of money.
In terms of money.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, we have basketball and other sports. There are times we can compete with teams on the field or on the court, whichever it may be. But when it comes to money, it's very difficult to match up with the elites, as you can see.
Neil, what a hoot. What a blast. Really appreciate the time. We really didn't give a lot of these topics the major justice they deserve, but hey, we're going to have more time for that.
Yeah, we have football coming, and by the time we talk again, it might be the week of high school football season. If we don't have a show this coming week,
right,
then the next week it begins, and then less than 2 weeks after that, Racers play their season opener, so we'll be ready for football.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, Neil, it's been real. It's been fun.
Appreciate
it. And you know what? It's been real fun.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man. We'll see you soon.